You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
Have you ever heard someone proudly declare they're debt-free? Sounds noble, right? Makes you think, I want that too. But here's the truth. Being debt-free, it's still zero. Today, I'm going to challenge you to think way bigger than just erasing your debt. I'm going to show you how to use debt as a tool to build real wealth, not just get by.
I'm Pommy. And I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio. We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment. This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Who am I to talk about this? Well, every time we take on new debt, like a $29.5 million loan that we recently secured, guess what happens? We keep getting richer. Why? Because we know how to use debt to create opportunities, not liabilities. And we're not alone. Robert Kiyosaki, $1.2 billion in debt. Kenny McElroy, $750 million in debt. And the Kitty Sisters, we're sitting at a cool $170 million in debt. But here's what most people don't understand. We don't owe that money. We control that money. So I'll show you this with simple math in just a bit. Trust me, when you see the numbers, it's going to be an eye-opener. But first, let's break down the way the poor, the middle class, and the rich think about debt. The poor, debt as disaster. You see, poor people use debt in the same way toddlers use ketchup, indiscriminately and to their own detriment. They borrow money not to make money, but to escape the sensation of not having anything. It's pain relief, not progress. Payday loans, high interest credit cards, buy now, cry later, retail financing. These are the equivalents of those emails promising you a Nigerian prince inheritance. Spoiler alert, it's a trap. Here's the thing, when poor people borrow money, they're borrowing to buy depreciating liabilities, flat screen TVs, tricked out rooms, retail therapy that feels good today, but costs them for years. Things that are losing value the moment they cross the checkout counter. Debt for them is gravity, not leverage. It only pulls down. Here's an example. Let's say someone borrows $5,000 on a high interest credit card at 24% APR to buy a new couch, a big screen TV, or some retail therapy. They make minimum payments of around $125 a month. How long does it take to pay off that debt? Over 5 years. How much do they pay in interest? About $4,100 in interest. So that $5,000 couch moment, it actually costs them $9,100 in the end. Now, this is where it gets brutal. That couch, worth maybe $200 on Craigslist by the time it's paid off. So they're $9,100 poor for a $200 asset and 5 years of financial drag. That math ain't mathing. The middle class, the beautifully polished trap on the middle class, smelling like granite countertops and the fainted aroma of existential dread. These are the people who did everything right. Got the degree, landed the steady job, pay their bills on time, and flex a credit score so pristine it can double as a golf handicap. And yet, they're just broke with better lighting. They use debt to look rich, not get richer. Mercedes on a balloon loan, homes they can't really afford in school districts don't never question. All financed at a 3.9 APR, very civilized. They accumulate a whole bunch of things that become worth less over time. Their debt is designed to signal status, not generate cash flow, not generate real wealth. It's not an investment, it's a performance art. The rich, debt as superpower. Here's where it gets fun. Rich people, we don't fear debt. We use it to our advantage. To us, debt isn't dangerous. Unused capital is. Cash sitting idle is like an Olympic sprinter stuck in traffic. We never want our money to take a break, go on vacation, or or even take a nap for 10 minutes. I know I'm a little harsh, but hey, go to work, money. So our goal is simple. Make our money work harder and make it grow even more. Eventually, we want our money to make more money so it doesn't just give us cash, but it also pays all our bills, cover our debt. We borrow money primarily to make money, to create wealth faster, and that's how the wealthy think. And we do this by investing in income-producing assets. We embrace debt because it allows us to use other people's money, whether it's the lenders or the investors, to make more money for all of us. The more we borrow, the more income we generate. Take this example. Assume that you're buying a property that's worth $20 million without any debt. The $20 million multifamily apartment entirely being paid with cash, no loan involved. That means that your total equity investment is $20 million. Over 5 years, the property generates consistent 6% annual cash flow. Since 6% of $20 million is $1.2 million per year, you collect a total of $6 million in cash flow over the whole period. At the end of the 5 years, you sell the property for $40 million. After subtracting your original $20 million investment, your profit from the sales is $20 million. When you add $6 million in cash flow to the $20 million in the sales profit, your total return comes to $26 million. To calculate the ROI, return on investment, you divide the total return by the original investment. $26 million divided by $20 million equals 1.3x, or 130% return on investment. Now, let's say you're buying the same $20 million property, but instead of paying all cash, you use a loan to cover 75% of the purchase price. That means that you invest only $5 million of the money you raise from investors and borrow the remaining $15 million with interest-only loan of 5%. Each year, your loan costs you $750,000 in interest, which adds up to $3.75 million over 5 years. The property still produces $1.2 million per year in cash flow. However, after paying the $750,000 in annual interest, your net cash flow is $450,000 per year, or $2.25 million over 5 years. At the end of 5 years, you sell the property for $40 million. You pay off the $15 million loan, leaving you with $25 million. After subtracting your original $5 million investment, your profit from the sale is $20 million. Adding your $1.5 million in net cash flow to $20 million in sales profit gives you a total return of $21.5 million. To find your ROI, divide $21.5 million return by your $5 million investment. $21.5 million divided by $5 million equals 4.3x, or 430% return on investment. Bottom line, even though both scenarios involve the same property and performance, using smart debt dramatically increases your return on investment, turning 130% gain into 430% one. That's the power of leverage when used wisely. This is what I mean when I said to use debt to get richer. It's all about velocity over volume. The real currency of the rich isn't money, it's velocity. Wealth isn't measured in dollars, it's measured in time. Let me explain. $1 million earned over 40 years. Does that make you rich? No, because it took you 4 decades to get there. Too slow. $1 million in a year? Better. Now you're 40 times richer than the person who took a lifetime to get the same amount. $1 million a month, now we're talking. That's 12 times richer than the person who makes it in a year, and 48 times richer than the slow mover who took 40 years. You're not just rich because you make more. You're rich because you make more faster. That's the power. And here's the problem. Most people don't have a money problem. They have a speed problem. Now, you spend money all day, every day, whether you realize it or not. You're spending right now. If you live in California and you're running your AC, you're spending money. Your fridge running, your sprinklers running, every time you turn on a light, use Wi-Fi, or flush a toilet, you're spending money. But here's the crazy part. You think that it's okay to get paid once a month or once every 2 weeks. Meanwhile, your bills don't wait. Your expenses don't take a break. Your money is constantly moving away from you, but you're not doing anything to speed up the money coming in. And that's why you're stuck. You've been so focused on making more when you should be focusing on making it faster and putting your money to work like it's on payroll through investment opportunities. Because if you increase the velocity of your money, the volume will follow. When you speed up your cash flow, your wealth doesn't just grow, it compounds. So for us, we love real estate. It's our alma mater. But now we've dived deeper into the game. We're stacking wealth with private credit. Why? Because in this high interest world, investing in debt just makes sense. So what's private credit? Simple. Direct lending. It's money moving into private equity firms, buying businesses, to real estate syndicators, scaling portfolios, to operators who know how to win, but they need capital to do it. It's the fuel behind real growth. Let's begin with a number, 1.5 trillion. That's not a typo. That's the size of the private credit market, and it's still growing steadily and quietly, like compound interest or your inbox during vacation. And the big players, they're already here. Blackstone, Apollo, KKR, Oaktree, Goldman Sachs. They piled into private credit the way tech companies rushed to the internet in 1999, except this time there's revenue, real tangible revenue. Why? Because they understand this isn't a side stage anymore. It's the main event. The future of returns is being built right now, one direct loan at a time. So, why now? Because we're in the perfect storm, not of panic, but potential. Banks have pulled back, regulations have gone up, risk appetite has gone on a juice cleanse, but the need for capital hasn't vanished. It's just shifted. Move move from the marble lobbies of big banks to smart, nimble hands of private lenders who can say yes without going through 17 layers of committees. Let's be honest, most businesses don't need another round of due diligence that feel like an FBI background check. They need capital fast, flexible, and from partners who knows how money actually works in the real world. That's us. We move fast, we underwrite like adults, and as an elite investment firm, we're asked all the time to help do due diligence, financial analysis, etc. on investment opportunities. And while we can't open this up to everyone, we're doing this for a few selected ultra and high net worth families who love investing but aren't doing this full time, and thus they need a little helping hand. Back to private credit. The question isn't, is private credit important? It's, can it consistently outperform? And we believe it can, because private credit gives you something public markets rarely do anymore: control. You control the terms, the timing, the risk profile. You're not trying to predict what the Federal Reserve will say next Tuesday. You're structuring cash flow on your terms, not theirs. While traditional fixed income is out there struggling with inflation like a tourist trying to pay in the wrong currency, private credit adjusts. We don't lock into yesterday's rates. We price for today's reality. Part of our tool belt includes fixed or floating structures and risk-adjusted spreads that respond to the market rather than fight it. It's the difference between using a typewriter and using Google Doc. One is locked in, the other evolves. Take, for example, a whole life insurance policy, traditionally seen as something your grandfather bought to be responsible. But what if you can borrow against it at 3 to 6% and funnel that into deals earning 14 to 16%? Suddenly your grandpa's strategy doesn't look so boring after all. Or consider this, your money sitting in a savings account earning 0.7% while inflation is quietly helping itself to 6% of your purchasing power every year. That's not a savings strategy, that's a slow financial erosion. Now imagine redeploying that same capital into private lending, where it doesn't just hold value, it works over time. And while the S&P 500 rides a roller coaster powered by headlines and hashtags, you could be building something far more reliable, a steady contractual return stream. No guesswork, no volatility theater, just consistent pipeline interest income tied to real businesses solving real problems. We're not betting on moonshots, we're building cash flow machines. So while others are glued to charts, trying to outguess the market for the 17th time this week, we're focused on a different strategy, lending to borrowers who need us, not just prefer us. We have the strategy, we have the deal flow, and thanks to the current market conditions, we also have timing on our side. When those things line up, it's not just a good opportunity, it's a compelling one. Private credit isn't a niche, it's not a trend, it's the next generation of wealth building, the kind that's quietly compounding while everyone else is refreshing their portfolios. And if this has sparked a new perspective, fantastic. Let this also serve as a new starting point, because the choice isn't whether your money works, it's where and how it works. I hope you gain some new awareness and set a new intention after watching this. Let today be the day you stop letting your money sit idle and start making it work for you.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.